We're going to continue in our series as we get close to drawing to an end. Next week, we'll be concluding this series on who is the Father. We're going to have time next week as we conclude the series to take of the Lord's table. We'll be taking communion together as we really cement this Trinity series on who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've been taking a long time to really dive into that and to dissect that into our life and realizing the role of the Holy Spirit in my life and the role of the Son and realizing the role of the Father, God the Father. The series, Who is the Father, has been a powerful series. Pastor Matt opened up the first couple of weeks with the names of the Father, and I've spent the last 5 weeks talking about the attributes of the Father. Last week we talked about Abba Father. How many are glad that our Abba Father is Abba Father? That last week, I believe that something began to happen in your mind, in your heart, in your spirits. For many of you, you realize the limits you have put on God. The glasses we've looked through as far as our Heavenly Father have been tainted by maybe the hurt of our earthly father. And the shortcomings we see of maybe in our earthly father have stopped us from really embracing Abba Father, our spiritual father. And so last week, I began to see that many of you were dropping those guards and you're allowing yourself to heal and say, God, no longer will I keep you, Lord, chained or keep you limited to what my earthly father is, but I am releasing Abba Father to be everything in my life that he wants to be. Today, we're going to talk about this thought of our Father is King. The Father is our King. He's our King. And today, we see in Scripture where time and time and time again, where God the Father is referred to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's just look at one reference here, as many we could read all day. Let's just read one of them, Psalm 74:12. But God is what? My King. Everybody say, my King. For God is my King from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. And so today we know that he is our King. You are my King, O God. And today we know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't believe that we have a problem understanding this. I really believe that most of us here have probably said that before. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We believe that he is our King. How many can raise you? I believe that God, our Father, is our King. He's King of the heavens, King of the earth, King of the universe, correct? We believe this. He is King of all. He is Lord of all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords and Lord of all. We know that. And I believe that you have no problem believing that. So the question is this, as we talk about the Father, our King, are we building him a throne? If we believe he's our King, do we build him a throne? Let's look at our text today. I'm going to read the story of David, King David, in 2 Samuel 19. We're going to start in verse 9 and go through 11. And we see a time when David had been dethroned by his son. And now it's time for David to retake the throne. Let's pick it up. And throughout all the tribes of Israel, there was much discussion and argument going on. The people were saying, the king rescued us from our enemies and saved us from the Philistines. But Absalom chased him out of the country. Now Absalom, who we anointed to rule over us, is dead. How many today realize that sometimes we come to a point in our life when we got to realize the king that we have appointed over us, not what God has appointed over us? You see, when we take the place and we appoint kings in our life, that's not God's will, those things will die. Those things will die off, and we'll find ourselves in that place of, you know what, that king I put above me is dead. It is bringing no life to me, to my family, to my spirit. These things are dead. And this is what was happening in the natural in the tribes of Israel, that Absalom had been killed. Let's pick it back up. Now, Absalom, who we anointed to rule over us, is dead. Look what they said. Now, why not ask David, God's appointed king, to come back and to be our king again? Then King David sent Zadok and Abiathar, the priest to say to the elders of Judah. There are 12 tribes. Let's get it right. There's 12 tribes of Israel, Judah being one of the 12 tribes. To say to the elders of Judah, why are you the last one to welcome back the king and to his palace? Some translations say to the throne. Welcome back the king and to his throne and to his palace. For I have heard that all of Israel is ready. So what we have happening here is this, is that all of Israel is ready for the king to come, David, to come back and to take his throne. But there's only one hang-up. Judah. Judah was not opening back up the throne for King David. Therefore, David was waiting until Judah extended an invitation before he would come back. And he even sent the priest to say this. Hey, what's going on, Judah? You're the only one who hasn't prepared the throne for the king to return. And the king's wanting to know why. And he's waiting on you. Let me just throw out a nugget to you real fast here. That gratitude is a seed for God to do more in our life. Gratitude is a seed for God to do more in our life. That when we express our gratitude to God, God, I thank you, Lord, for where I'm at right now. And when I get my eyes off of my problems and get my eyes upon what God has blessed me with and walk in that spirit of thanksgiving, it's the seed that allows God to do more in my life. But when I sit around complaining about where I'm at, I complain about what I don't have, I complain about what God hasn't answered, and I forget to praise him for what he has done, I lose out. I lose out. But when I begin to plant seeds of gratitude to the king and say, thank you, God, that I am where I am. Without you, God, I would not be here. Without you, my marriage would have fallen apart. Without you, my health would have failed. Without you, my finances would have crumbled. Without you, my family would have been lost. Without you. When I walk in that spirit of gratitude to the Lord, I'm releasing seeds for God to do more in my life. So let's get back to this thought about the Judah being the only tribe. Because we see in Psalms 22, it says that God inhabits, in verse 3, it says God inhabits. Everybody say inhabits. I mean, God comes and he exists. He sits, he enthrones in the praises of his people, the praises of Israel. Now, we know this. This is what's so true, is that God comes and he sits in the praises of his people. What's what this means? It's simply this, that when you and I worship the Lord like we were doing this morning, that with our praise, we are literally building a throne for God himself to come and sit among us. Let's say it like it is, that we, our praises, are inviting and building the throne for the King of Kings to come and be in our midst. And how many know when the king is released, when the king is invited, that anything can happen? That hearts are healed, that bodies are healed, that people are redeemed, that people come back to know him as Lord, that there is a supernatural power that can be released by the power of the Holy Spirit when the king is in the house. So what does Judah mean? You've heard me teach this before. Judah simply means praise. So when praise is released, praise is the key to release and to invite the king back into the palace. What are you saying, Pastor? I mean, as soon as you walk in the door today, that our praise either invites or limits the king from being here. Our praise either invites and builds a throne of welcome, or our praise limits the king from being here. So the question is this I have for you. Do you need the king to show up in your home? Do you need the king to show up in your family? Do you need the king to show up in your life? Do you need the king to show up in your marriage? Do you need the king to show up in your children? Do you need the king to show up in your finances? Then build him a throne. Build him a throne with praise, saying, God, I am building your throne of praise. I want you to rule in my life, in my home, in my family, in my church. In the four-state region, God, we want to build you a throne. But the only way the king will take his throne is through praise, through the invitation. You see, David was the most powerful king we've ever known. He was the best king at taking anything that God had promised. Man, he went out and he possessed that land. I mean, you're talking about a master warrior, chief strategician when it comes to war and obtaining land. I mean, David, let me tell you this. David did not need an invitation to take any throne. If David wanted to, he could have took any throne that he wanted. He always did. God was on his side, and he could always take any throne that he wanted. So why was he limiting himself to Judah not asking him? Because David refused to take the throne unless he was invited. Some of you are going to get that this morning. David refused to take the throne in Judah unless the praise of Judah came forth inviting him to take it. You see, God is powerful enough, he can take any throne he wants to take. God can forcefully be anywhere. He is omnipresent. He can be any throne that he wants to sit in. But he refuses to sit in any throne where the people do not build praise. But when we open up our mouth and our heart and say, God, I'm going to praise you. God, I'm going to magnify you. God, I'm going to shout out your name. God, I'm going to lift my hands. God, I'm going to dance before you. God, I'm going to say, God, you are holy. Holy, holy are you, God. And I'm going to declare it. God comes and he inhabits those praises. This is what God's looking for, places and people who will say, I'm opening up the throne for the Father, the King to come. Look what Matthew 18:20 says. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Isn't that powerful? So if two or three of us gather in the name of the King, he's going to show up. Think about how powerful that is. So if two or three of us gather in the name of the King and say, we're going to magnify the King. We're going to show up in his name. Father, we love you. God, we exalt you. God, we worship you. He shows up. There's a lot more than two or three of us here together this morning. What is the power when all of us come in together and say, we're going to put our hearts together. We're going to put our voices together. We're going to say, welcome, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to praise the King, and we're going to build him a throne with our worship. And you see that every time I shout out a worship, every time I praise him, every time I lift my hands, that I'm adding to the block that's building his throne that he's going to come and inhabit. Just think of the size of throne that we can build together. The bigger the throne, the bigger the presence of the King. Let me say this. The bigger we make the runway, the bigger aircraft carrier that can land there. I don't know about you, but I want more of God than I've ever had in my life. And I want to prepare a place that says, God, you come and be as big as you want to be. God, we are people who are hungry. We are people who are going to be like the tribe of Judah. We're going to sing your praise, inviting you to come back. But this is the question. Are you going to be the one who limits the return of the King? See, Judah was the one who was limiting the return of the King. The other 11 tribes had already prepared their hearts. They had already prepared their kingdoms for the King David to come back and return to take his throne. But Judah was keeping the praise away. Judah was keeping and limiting the King from being there to the extent that he wanted to come and reign. I wonder how many of us limit what God really wants to do by our lack of praise. Let's just talk about it where we're at today. Can we do that, okay? Let's just talk about where we really are. We walk in this morning, and the service starts up, and what do? We get on the front row, and we come in. We kind of, yeah, yes, go. Look at the praise team. Well, they're really praising this morning. Oh, TJ, he's praising the Lord here today. You go, TJ. Woo. Oh, yeah, I felt that right there. Look at TJ. Praise the Lord. I told you. He really gets into it. Look at him. Go ahead, TJ. You invite the presence of God here. Woo! I feel it right there. Hallelujah. Oh, I need another manicure right there. This watch really doesn't match my outfit. I knew I should have got that. It's still on daylight savings time. Oh, my word. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, the praise team, they're getting into today. Oh, boy, I love it when they get into it. Hallelujah. We depend on the praise team to bring the presence of God. And when you do that, we limit what God wants to do. It's when we all say, God, We want you to come and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our presence. God's looking for somebody to come in and say, you know what? I'm going to open up my mouth in the very first note and say, God, I'm going to declare in this place that you are welcome. That we are welcome you here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No longer to limit you by my refusal to praise. So when you do not praise, you are stopping the outpouring that God wants to give to us. It will be limited according to your praise. According to your due to praise is how much God will outpour in our services. So you can imagine what happens when half of us do it. You imagine what happens when 80% do it. But imagine what would break through in this place if 100% of the people in this place will say, I am going to praise the Lord. I'm going to build a throne that invites the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come inhabit the praises of his people. Don't stop and limit God from coming. Don't stop the King. But release the King. Invite the King. Build his throne with your praise and see if he doesn't come and inhabit. He abides in our midst. The King is looking for a people and a church that will build him a throne. He's looking for a place. Destiny Church, let me tell you that God is looking for a place to build him a throne. I like what Isaiah says in Isaiah 61:3. Let's read it together. It says, to console those who mourn in Zion. This is the promises of the Lord. To give them what? He's trading ashes for their beauty. He says, I'll trade their mourning for the oil of joy. Look what it says right here. He will trade our spirit of heaviness and give us what? A garment of praise. You see, there's something in praise that releases the spirit of heaviness and says, you know what, God, I'm choosing. Now, today, I know every one of you, when you got ready, that you chose to put on your clothes. And some of you, your mom or your wife maybe laid them out for you, but you had to choose to put them on. See, when you come into the presence of God, you got to say, I'm choosing, God, to put on your garment of praise. I'm choosing to wrap myself in you. I'm choosing to lay aside the heaviness of my day. I'm choosing to lay aside the problems that I'm facing. And God, I'm going to wrap myself in your garment of praise. Laying aside what? The spirit of heaviness. Who wouldn't want to lay aside the spirit of heaviness and walk in a garment of praise? Obviously, we do. Because many times we refuse to put it on. Don't be that tribe who's holding back. Say, I'm going to come in and I'm going to put on the robe. I'm going to come in and put on. You see, David, when he went to get the Ark of the Covenant, we know the Ark of the Covenant was symbolic and represented the holies of holies, the presence of God. It says when he got to the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back to Israel, it says that he had to take away his royal robe and strip it off. He had to take that Armani robe off, the finest of linens, and lay it down and strip himself down and said, I'm going to come into the presence of God. I'm going to be a carrier of the presence of God and carry it back. So we got to come in and say, God, I'm stripping aside, laying aside every weight, putting on your garment of praise. I'm building you a throne. I'm building you a throne of praise. I love what the prophet said to David. We see here in 1 Samuel 22:5, and now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold, but depart and go to the land of Judah. I believe that that has more than one meaning. I believe that we are being prophesied to today that we need to lay aside. Don't stay in the land of the stronghold. But go and say, I'm going to depart from the stronghold. Whatever stronghold you walked in today, things that are holding on to your spirit, things that are trying to attack you, you say, I'm not going to stay in this land of the stronghold. I don't have to do it. Why? Because I can depart and go into the land of Judah of praise. And when I go into the land of praise, I lay aside the heaviness, that I carried in. And I wrap myself in a garment of praise. And I say, O King of Kings, O Lord of Lords, you are welcome in this place. I declare your glory. I declare your kingdom come. I declare your will be done. And I release the spirit for the king to come. And he sits on the throne that you and I make for him. And he inhabits, he abides in the praises of his people. Realize the power of your praise. Realize the power of the praise is building the king a throne. I'm going to close with a story as the musicians come this morning. I love this story in Mark chapter 5 of the demon-possessed man. And the Word of God talks about there was a demon-possessed man who had 2,000 demons in him. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't see anybody in this room that's possessed with 2,000 demons. That's a lot, okay? Some of you maybe a little, but some others, 2,000 demons possessing him. And it says that man who was possessed by 2,000 demons came to Jesus, fell at his feet, and began to worship the Savior. Demons could not stop back his worship. 2,000 demons couldn't stop this man from falling to his feet and crying out to the Savior, crying out to the King. He fell to his feet. He cried out to the Savior. It says that Jesus looked at him, spoke to those demons, cast them out into the swine. Said there was a herd of pigs that those spirits went into, and they ran off and the side of the cliff and went into the ocean, killing themselves, drowning themselves. You see, when praise begins to happen, when worship begins to happen, even demons in your life will commit suicide. Let me say again. When you begin to praise God, even demons in your life will have to flee. You feel spirits trying to attack you? Let me tell you, if you're a child of God, those spirits must fall off you in the presence of your Savior. So you got to come in and say, I'm not going to allow my spirit to be attacked. I'm not going to allow my home. Listen, there comes a time you got to stand up like a man, stand up like a lady, and say, you know what? My home will not be under the influence of any demonic attack. But I'm going to stand in the spirit of Judah. I'm going to stand in the spirit of praise. And I'm going to declare that the King is welcome in this place. That the King will rule in this place. That the King will be released in this place. Somebody better stand to your feet right now. Begin to praise the Lord. Welcoming in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we welcome you in this morning. God, we want to release the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our house. Destiny Church realizes that God is anointing this house. God is anointing this house to be a carrier of the King. Great teaching is great, and we have a lot of good teaching here. But if we miss out on the throne of the King, we're missing it. We're missing it. It's the combination of God's Word edifying, discipling us, changing us. But we also got to say, King of Kings, come and inhabit your praises. King of Kings, come and release your anointing in my life. King of Kings, come and break the strongholds of my life. King of Kings, come and release.
Hallelujah.
So it comes. Do not hold back. Do not hold back. Don't be the one who limits what the King of Kings wants to do. Do not be the one who holds back. I'm going to invite those who want to come to the front this morning. We're going to close this song. We're going to get out of our seats. We're going to come around the front. As you come this morning, we're going to sing this song. And as we do, I want you to imagine that with your praise, you're building the throne. With your praise, you're building the throne. Allowing the King to come and abide. Allowing the King to come. Come on, put your praise together. Come on. Come on, tie it in around the front. Come, don't be the one. Do not be the one who holds back the praise. Do not be the one who limits the King, but come and release the King in your life. Release the King in this place with our praise, with our praise. Step up to the front, guys, a little more if you could. Make room for those coming in. Come on, let's declare to him who sits on the throne.
to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb.
Oh, come on, sing it unto him this morning.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be all blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be all blessing and glory and honor and power.
Hallelujah!
Glory and honor and power forever. Be
praise. Keep your hands raised right now. Father, right now, Lord, we release in your house, Lord. We come against any spirit that would lack Judah from being released in our life. God, may this sanctuary a destiny church, Lord. I declare in the spirit realm that, Father, from this day forward, I declare from this day forward, may the spirit of Judah arise in a greater fashion than we've ever seen. God, may a greater praise come out. May a cry come out louder than before. God, may there be such a roar coming out of this place, Lord, that people's lives are coming to being changed. May there be such a roar coming out, such a roar coming out, Father, that people are coming from everywhere to feel and to see and to be changed with the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that, God, we would be agents of Judah, bringing the throne, releasing the king to come back and to inhabit his praises. So one more time with our hands raised, we're going to sing unto the king. Come on, I want you to declare it. Declare it in your heart.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb.
You are so worthy.
Forever.
Shout out to
Hallelujah. Be all blessed.
give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise. We love you, Lord. Come on, bless him. Shout out his name. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Hey, hey. Let it ring in this place. Let it ring in this place. You are welcome here. You are welcome here, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are welcome here today, Almighty King. You are welcome here, Almighty King. Yes, yes, yes. Now listen to me. Listen to me. This is your assignment this week. This week, when you get in your car to go to work, I want you to see your car as a place where you can build the throne for the King. I want you to see your home when you get up in the morning that, you know what, King of Kings, I'm inviting you into my home this week. I'm going to praise you, setting up the King to come and rule in my home, in my marriage. So when you need to walk into your kids' room when they're at school this week and say, you know what, I'm declaring to my children that God, the King of Kings, is going to be evident here. I'm releasing the spirit of the King in my house. So when you, before you go to bed at night, you say, God, I'm releasing the King of Kings to be in my home, to be in my marriage, releasing him. Release him. I challenge you every day on your way to work. Release him in your car. Put on some worship time and just release in your car. See if it doesn't change your attitude. See if it doesn't change what's going on in your work. See if it doesn't change what's going on in your home. And then next week when we come together, I want you to bring that faith with you. I want you to say from the very first note, from the very first beat, from the very first word, I'm going to declare my praise to invite the King here. How many agree? We're going to invite the King to rule our life. We're going to invite the King to rule our homes. We're going to invite the King to rule our services and say, God, we're not going to be the ones to stop you, but we're going to release you and invite you to come, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you believe that, one more time, give him a shout of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, man, I'm releasing the King. How about you? Tell them, say, I'm releasing the King. How about you? I'm releasing the King. I'm inviting the King to come back in my life, in my church, in my home. I'm releasing the King. Amen. Hug somebody this morning. God bless you so much.